How's everybody doing today? Oh, you can tell it's 8:30 in the morning. My name is Daniel Egan. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft, and I'll be your host slash speaker in some of the sessions today. I'm here to welcome you to the event. A couple things before we get started. The agenda. We got a full packed day for you guys today, so I'm going to go over what we're going to talk about. The first session's pretty cool. It's the biggest session of the day. And we're going to start with a great keynote from Matt Thompson, and I'll introduce him in a little bit. After that, I'm going to work on showing you guys the phone. How many of you have not seen the phone yet? Okay, good, perfect. So we're going to take a long lap around the phone so you not only are excited about developing for it, but you'll be excited about getting the phone because it's a really cool phone. After that, we actually have a couple of partners today that are going to show some stuff. So we have a great startup that's going to come up on stage and show you what they've developed and talk to you about what it took for them to develop the app. After that, we're going to jump back into me, and I'm going to show you a little bit about Visual Studio. We're going to write a quick app. I'm going to try to write one on stage for you guys in about 5-10 minutes just to show you how easy it is to write an application for the Windows Phone using Visual Studio. After that, it's probably the most important part and the reason you guys are here today. Who's here to make money? Okay, so we're going to talk about monetizing. We're going to talk about the marketplace. And then we're going to end up at the end of that session with a pretty large Q&A section. So we have two big Q&As today. One at the end of that session, quite honestly, because after I talk about marketplace, I get a million questions. So we figured we'd do a big one there. So that's going to be about 15, 20 minutes. And after that, we're going to take a break. After the break, we're going to do something that I personally need. I'm a developer at heart, and those developers out there that are like me understand that when I try to design something, I can't really design anything. So we're going to have Jason come up here and talk about design guidelines. So when you're working on the phone, you understand what needs to happen as far as design is concerned on the phone. After Jason, we're going to do some lunch. Lunch will be outside, and then obviously you eat. I think most of you came in, and we're in the general area where you can do eating and seeing the showcase stuff, so that's where we'll have lunch. We have some really cool stuff at lunch as well that I'll talk about in a minute. When we come back from lunch, we have another double session. The first one is we have another partner now that's going to do a showcase for us, and I'm really excited that they're here because one of the things that is sometimes as developers tricky at events like this is, you know, I'm going to show you an app in 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes, right? Just to show you how easy it is. But that's not the app you're going to put out on the marketplace, right? So they're going to show you the app that they've built, that they are putting out in the marketplace. They're going to talk about design patterns, best practices. They're going to show you their code and show you their app and really cover all the bases that I didn't in the first session. We don't have a true break after that. We're going to just kind of segue in. I'll come up here just a couple minutes, as long as it takes us to transition to the next speaker. And Kenny is going to come up here and talk about XNA. So XNA is what we use for game development on the phone. And Kenny has a really great session for you game developers out there. We're then going to take another break. And then I come back up again. We finish out the day with services. So in the last session, I'm going to talk about very specific stuff for the phone. Some of it will slightly be covered throughout the day, but we're going to talk about, you know, how do I access the camera? How do I grab an email? How do I send an SMS? How do I use location on the phone? All that kind of auxiliary stuff that you might not be used to on the phone. We're going to cover that in the last session. And like I said earlier, at the end of that, we're going to have another big Q&A while we gather up the evals and give you guys some raffle prizes. And speaking of raffle prizes, we've got some really great stuff for you today. We have, among other things, we have a Zune HD, which is a really great device. I love my Zune HD. We also have an Xbox 360 Halo Reach Edition that we're going to be giving away. And then, of course, we also have a Windows 7 phone, or Windows Phone 7 for you guys. But, well, we have one to raffle off. But most of you guys know that we just made the announcements about the phones and all that stuff yesterday, right? So I have a certificate for you guys. As soon as it comes out in a couple weeks, you'll be able to get the phone. So, yeah, I thought so. Good, good, good. A little bit of housekeeping before we start, just so you guys know what you're doing here. if you have a phone, obviously most of us are business professionals in the audience, completely understand that, you know, you got to maybe grab an email or talk to a colleague or whatever. If you do need to use a phone, obviously please step outside. If you haven't already, put your phone on vibrate before we start. Wireless. So this room or this building is all set for wireless. The wireless code is in your bag for you to sign on. And so we don't kill anyone on the pathway going down, for those of you that weren't in here when I made this announcement earlier, every single seat under the right armrest has plugs for your laptop. So no round of applause for that? I mean, come on, this is a great room. The technology showcase is next door. Some of you probably have already seen some of it. We do have a phone bar. We have some development devices that we've been using and sharing with developers that are over there. So you can get a good feeling of the phone. Obviously, they're not the devices that just came out yesterday, but it can still give you a little good feeling of how it works, and you know, you can, guys can play with it. We have an Xbox avatar bar. So if you're not an Xbox gamer right now, we're going to show you why you're going to want an avatar anyway for this phone. So I think Kenny and some other people are going to be working on that bar. And my personal favorite, among the other things we have there, is this photo booth. How many of you have done the photo booth already? Yeah, isn't that cool? So those of you that haven't, it's like the fair photo booth, but you don't have to actually go in a booth. And it takes a really cool picture of you inside a Windows 7 phone. So make sure you check that out. It's a lot of fun, and it's interesting to see the pictures get crazier and crazier throughout the day. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do. One of them is. Aaron is available for pictures with you throughout the day. So Aaron, you're on point. So that's all the housekeeping I have. So to get started today, I want you to please help me welcome the GM of Developer and Platform Evangelism on the West Coast, Mr. Matt Thompson.
Thanks, man.
Sure.
So I'd like to also reiterate Daniel's welcome. I know it's early. Daniel's from L.A., so you know, 8:30 in the morning, he's good with this. I live 5 miles from here, and it was hard for me to get here on time. So I completely get this is not the Silicon Valley culture. So this is kind of an exciting day for us. I mean, we've been talking and showing phone privately, kind of to developer audience, for going back to March. But you know, we started with very few phones, couldn't really talk about the whole programming model and everything else. And then yesterday, the company kind of made the announcement. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what that announcement was, what it means we can talk about today, and what it kind of means for you, hopefully. So I need to start with, how many of you do app dev on either iPhone or Android today, or BlackBerry, although I don't think there are many of those. Okay, cool. So the goal that I have for the organization, for the team today, is any of you that are doing app dev for either iPhone or Android, by the end of the day, I would love to hear from you directly. Yes, I'm interested in possibly building on your platform, or no, and here are the reasons why. Because the way we're approaching this is not an either or, this is an and. And we think we can give you a really compelling experience on our hardware and software so that you're going to want your app running on our platform and in the marketplace that we've built. We clearly understand that this is going to be a huge opportunity. We think it's a huge opportunity, but the opportunity that's already out there is immense. Although it's interesting because how many of you guys read TechCrunch? I'm going to give a quote a little bit later from them yesterday. It was really interesting. So Engadget was pretty positive on the Windows Phone 7 launch yesterday. TechCrunch turned it around and said, yeah, it's cool, but it's late and all the rest of it. But what's really interesting is there was this, if you read the thread for all the comments, there was this huge argument about whether the phone market is already saturated for apps, right? And it basically fell on, I see people shaking their head, right? So it came down on two sides. One, it's either completely saturated, we're done, there'll be no more innovation in apps, or this is only the beginning of some huge build-out. And so this is what I like, because so my job, and I should explain as I go forward here, kind of give you an idea of who I am. This is my email. This is my Twitter stream if you're interested in following and listening to what we have to say about the developer ecosystem at Microsoft. I also will respond to any email you send me, so if we don't get a chance to connect today, you've got a question or a comment or just want to get in touch, please feel free to send me an email. I've been at Microsoft 15 months. Before I was here, I was at Sun for 18 years. I actually was the one who ran the Java developer ecosystem worldwide for Sun. Very, very familiar with what it takes to be successful on a platform. 7 million Java developers later, completely understand what it takes to be successful. I understand that Microsoft is late in this space. I also want, for any of you that worked with 6.5, if you had a great experience before, fantastic, but this is a new paradigm. This is not just a step forward. This is a revolutionary step forward for us. Brand new OS, new hardware chassis underneath it, new programming model. So we look at this as kind of a coming out party for Windows Phone 7 for developers, and that's what today's all about. So back to the, you know, are we at the beginning of something really big, or are we really kind of already in a saturated space and Microsoft's going to struggle to make headway? Well, so I'd rather not talk about what I think, but instead say that part of my job, I was actually given the job in Silicon Valley. I actually live here, work here, is because within 30 miles of this campus or a little north of here, pretty much 40 miles, pretty much represents the single greatest space of innovation on the planet for software. It's been that way for 30 years. There are a lot of other spaces in the planet that are starting to grow. I've been to most of them, spent a tremendous amount of time in Beijing, in Bangalore, in Hyderabad, all over Eastern Europe, in Brazil, in Argentina, in Israel. I've seen what those places are like, but this place still is unique, and there are a couple reasons for that. One is the university system. Two is the funding system around it, whether it's the angels and VCs. Now we're starting to see incubators take off. So part of my job is to have relationships with the guys that have the money. So rather than me answer the question whether we're at the beginning of a build-out or we're kind of in a saturated space, what I will tell you is there are two things that VCs or just angels are funding today. They're funding phone and they're funding cloud. We see those two things as being very intricately tied together. So when we talk about the next great platform, you know, don't listen to Apple, don't listen to Google, don't listen to Microsoft, go listen to the guys with the money. What they're saying is mobile is the next big build-out. Right, and they see it. When you start looking at the IDC numbers, I was actually talking to somebody from Sequoia just a couple days ago. Their response was IDC came out with this is a $6 billion market for apps, a $6 billion market. And the guy from Sequoia said, we think they've underestimated the value of this. And IDC, you know, usually pretty conservative, but for Sequoia to come out and say that, it's pretty impressive. So we still see this as very early days. We think we now have a very competitive platform in this space. We want to hear that from you, though. If there are things that we need to go fix, you're going to see massive iteration or massive innovation from Microsoft in this space. This is just step one. And the other thing that was interesting from the comments yesterday is, you know, does this follow the new Microsoft way or the old Microsoft way? The old Microsoft way would be throw a whole lot of money at it. Eventually, we'll get it right. Well, we are going to throw a lot of money at this. And throughout the day, you'll start to see some of the things we're doing. This will be one of the largest supported launches that Microsoft has ever done in its history. We are very serious about phone. But we're also doing it very intelligently. And I kind of look at this as the new Microsoft way. It's one of the reasons why I joined the company coming from Sun, is because we get how important developers are, and this is a developer play. A lot of what you will have heard yesterday is talking about why these devices will delight consumers and why the design point was really aimed at making a really easy-to-use phone that allows for integration of all these services. That's really important. But at its core, this is a developer play. That's why you guys are here today. That's why we're here today. And I hope by the end of the day we can prove that to you. So last thing about this is I'm an underwater photographer. And I'll just say that the interesting thing is when we start talking about the type of capabilities that the phone has from a photography perspective, it's not too far from what I shot this with. Underwater. So I'm kind of excited, although I'm not going to take my phone underwater. I like the fact that we're getting comparable technology. So I have some personal goals for each of you today. I really want you guys to get introduced to Windows Phone 7. You saw the agenda. I think we'll get there. But I also want you to understand the opportunity. So we're going to do the marketplace discussion. That's really important. And I guess I should ask, Is there anybody here who actually has been involved in early Windows Phone 7 kind of app creation? A few people, okay. So, and certainly the partners that you'll hear from today have been. So we have a marketplace. It's actually open today for ingestion for certain apps. So we're really excited about getting you guys interested in being part of that. If you've got apps, you got to come talk to us. Everybody here, either wearing the Windows Phone 7 shirt or myself, interested in hearing from you about what you're doing. Okay? We're going to take you through the platform and the tools. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the other comments that came through a couple of a couple of the developer forums that I'm part of, some of the discussion yesterday was, you know, so what's the advantage? What language do you write in for this? You're going to hear about the programming model today, Silverlight and XNA. So there's an advantage there for some of you that have that experience. There are some, and other people are going to be like, well, that's not quite what I use on Android or iOS. However, we think the one thing that gives us a huge advantage is the tooling. So, and actually coming from the Java space, the one thing that we always looked at was Visual Studio, best tooling on the planet. We're going to give that to you for free to develop for phone. We've got a phone version for Visual Studio. Download it for free, use it, it'll give you everything you need, including the emulator. So we're going to give you the best tooling environment to build apps. And we don't have this particular partner here today, but I'll share with you. I gave a keynote at Mobilize 2010 about 2 weeks ago. It was a GigaOM conference. And we showed an app. It was a game that was created by a guy. Actually, it was the first mobile app developer in Iraq. So this is part of the rebuilding program in Iraq. He's a local. And he likes the development environment that he gets with Visual Studio so much and developing for Windows Phone 7 that he's actually now developing, he's actually writing his main algorithm and code on for Windows Phone 7 and porting to the iPhone. So he's actually switched for his primary development platform. I don't know if you guys are all going to do that. We think it's a great story. For him to do that, there's something there. Okay? And then the other thing we want to do is we want to make sure we help you get started. So go to the phone bar, try out the devices, talk to the evangelists. If there are questions you guys have, we want to make sure we answer them. So I think it's kind of important because the announcement was just yesterday, and you guys actually have the advantage of being one of the very first, I think one of two, of the very first kind of developer launches right after the launch. So we actually held a developer event similar to this in Southern California last week, and we couldn't quite tell people everything that we were going to announce. So the announcement's done. I can take you through everything we talked about. So, yesterday, what we said is over 60 operators in over 30 countries will support Windows Phone 7 in the next 12 months. So this is a worldwide launch. It's not every country. There are language restrictions on what we're supporting on the devices for a little bit, but we have a long-term plan in which we'll roll that out. But it is a significant launch. It's actually larger. It's a larger launch than what you saw with either Android or iPhone in their day one. We see this as an international launch, and we want to make sure that developers understand the marketplace or the market, the potential market that you have the opportunity to reach, is worldwide. The other thing is, so Windows Phone 7 devices available in select markets in Asia and Europe on October 21st, then following in the U.S. on November 8th. So this isn't something, you know, people heard, some people actually kind of misquoted Steve Ballmer yesterday, and they said, oh, coming soon. I mean, soon, like in a week. Right? So, and then just a few weeks after that for the U.S. And that's really just because, you know, AT&T, T-Mobile have to get stocked up, get their staff trained, et cetera, so the phones become available in the stores. But this is clearly something that we held ourselves accountable to be ready for the holiday season. So we actually hit the early part of that time frame, and that's great. Very happy about that. So AT&T and T-Mobile are the carrier partners in the U.S. There was a large discussion kind of on the web about what about Verizon? What about, you know, other guys? And what we announced yesterday is CDMA is a year away. Not a full year away, but next year. Okay, so this is a GSM-based launch. When you kind of look at the marketplace, and for somebody who has spent as much time overseas as I have, the rest of the world is GSM, right? So we're one of the few countries left with kind of this CDMA backbone from some of our carriers. that's fine, and we will support that. But if you look at a worldwide launch, you've got to go GSM first. So, and I guess I should mention really quickly. So we actually showed off 10 models, but we announced that 9 would be available right away. The 10th one was a CDMA handset. So we have 9 models of phone that will be available worldwide. Not all of those are available in every market, depending on our partner. I'll take you through the devices that are actually available or will be available in the U.S. So what is Windows Phone 7? And you're going to hear about this all day long. Everybody's going to kind of define it slightly differently. But by the way, did anybody watch the stream of the launch yesterday? See Steve's stuff? Okay, so I mean, it was really a consumer-based kind of focus, really aimed at the press and you know, kind of driving hype around that. A lot of interesting verbiage came out of that. I think it was well taken. But one of the things that was, you know, is hard is when we talk about a consumer device, we want people to walk away. It's easy to use. It's easy to consume services. It does what you need it to do, and you don't have to spend a lot of time kind of messing around with it. Those were the kind of the big messages. For developers, we're like, okay, well, how do we integrate our apps into that kind of environment? And so what I'm here to tell you is it is absolutely a consumer device. We are going to make this really, really popular with consumers. And I already mentioned that Microsoft is going to put a tremendous amount of effort with our carrier partners to make that the case. This is not this is one of our primary targets for the year and for the next couple of years. So it's a different kind of phone, though, the environment. And when Jason comes up here, he's going to take you through how to build compelling apps from a user experience perspective. We think that's important. It is a different design point. It's a different design point than iPhone. It's a different design point than Android. Certainly a different design point from BlackBerry. We think that it actually offers advantages over all of those. So we talked a little bit about design. It's all based on this notion of hubs, and we'll kind of take you through that today. But those hubs are completely programmable. So it gives you a lot of opportunity to kind of bring your app forward, let it do interesting things. And then last, kind of rich platform tools on this optimized hardware. And I'm going to take you through the hardware here in a second. We'll talk in detail kind of what the chassis is. But I think a key point that you guys need to take away is this wasn't define a spec and then go let the hardware manufacturers figure out what they were going to do within the bounds of that and stretch it and, you know, essentially water it down. It's we worked with our hardware partners to create a chassis. So the chassis underneath every one of these phones is exactly the same. Now, there are areas like, you know, they can add more megapixels in the camera, et cetera, but there's a baseline that every single phone will have. And we think that's really important for the user experience as well. So take you through a couple of the devices that are going to be available in the U.S. here in a couple of weeks. So LG's got a Quantum. It's a slider phone on the sideways side. You can kind of read it here. The thing that's interesting for this one is it has this notion of augmented reality. Each of these phones have also been kind of optimized for being lightweight. So if you go play at the phone bar, you'll see some of the, as Daniel said, the phones that we have here today are developer phones. They're a little chunkier than the ones you'll see on the consumer side, but all of these have been optimized for, you know, what the experience is in the person's hand. So Samsung Focus, really lightweight. It's a really nice phone and very high quality screen. HTC Surround. This one's interesting. It's got a slide up for Dolby Surround sound. Right. So one of the things that you're going to see from the kind of chassis that we produced with our partners was, and I should ask the question, so how many of you here are either thinking about or have apps that kind of touch on the gaming space? Few people. So I'm going to argue that as we go forward, and I can say this because in talking with I advise 4 or 5 startups here in the Valley, all in the mobile space, one of the interesting things when you talk to them is, people are starting to talk about what an immersive environment for an app looks like. So even if you're not doing gaming, there are things about, you know, kind of immersive technology, whether it's for gaming or whether it's for even doing check-ins or social networking, that you're going to start thinking about taking advantages of some of those experiences. The HTC HD7, so the previous three were all AT&T. This one is actually going to be T-Mobile. And then there's a Dell one as well, and that's got a slider keyboard as well. So what makes this announcement significant to you guys? And that's the thing that I think becomes most important. Well, so we're absolutely committed to creating a really vibrant, strong, and healthy developer ecosystem. And, you know, it's interesting because people talk about, you know, the early days when I was doing the early days of Java adoption, it's like, what did a healthy ecosystem look like? Was it 100,000 developers? Was it a million developers, et cetera? So we see this, the build-out around the app ecosystem here is we see this in the hundreds of thousands of millions of developers. And, you know, when Apple started, they didn't see those numbers. Now, they may have gotten there. Google didn't see those numbers. Now, they may have gotten there. We clearly see it as the target. We want hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of developers having very successful businesses around mobile and cloud. And I throw cloud in there because we've got to connect to something, right? We'll talk a little bit about that later today. The notion of, you know, the best device to consume cloud services today are mobile. So Windows Phone 7 is a first-class platform for Microsoft. This is not an also. When we talk about what we're doing and what we're investing in, this is a huge investment for us. We are very serious about making phones successful. And when you look at the tools and the kind of programming model that we build for this, is a long-term play for us. So we are absolutely committed to making this successful. So Android and iPhone are interesting, clearly have a lead in the market. But our view of this is that this market is early. So going back to the discussion around, you know, are we early or are we late? Where are we in the mobile build-out? So we see this as early. And we see that innovation being the thing that should drive both consumer choice as well as kind of a really nice user experience, as well as kind of developer adoption. Because everybody wants to be a platform, right? I think one of the things that people forget over time, but, you know, going back 20 years, the health of a developer ecosystem will define the health of the platform. You've got two developers and a dog sitting in a garage not doing anything interesting, your platform's going to struggle. If you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of developers working on innovating, building things on top of, you're going to have a healthy platform. You know, and it's interesting because when we look at what's happened recently, Facebook turned itself into a platform a couple years ago. Why did they do that? Because Mark came up with the concept that we can't build all the interesting things that we wanted to build on Facebook. Instead, let's go get a developer community to help build those things. We have the exact same philosophy, always have. One of the things, and I know most of you have probably seen the YouTube video of Steve Ballmer jumping around on stage going, developers, developers, developers. At least we understand how important the developer community is to us. It's clearly the thing that's going to make or break the platform. So, Microsoft, and I guess the other point I have, continued innovation there. Because, again, it is early, and this is step one. We will continue to innovate with this platform. You're going to see rapid innovation. You're going to see a lot of new things come out on the Windows side, on the phone side. So Microsoft fully understands that making developer wildly successful on Windows Phone 7 is critical. We want you to each be able to, if your goal is to build a successful business in the app space for mobile or on the services side on the back end, we want to support you in that on Windows Phone 7. So your success is our success here. And then just to kind of finish up, one of the things I want to do is just talk about a quote that I took right off of TechCrunch. This was, again, in this thread of, you know, arguing about, you know, are we early, are we late? Some of the headlines that came off of TechCrunch yesterday were, you know, hey, this is really cool, but it's late, or this is really cool, but it's Microsoft. And, you know, after reading through all this about maybe after about 105, 110 comments, I got to this one, and I thought it was pretty telling. It was like, you know, seems like they, referring to TechCrunch, the editors, are all afraid to say what they really think because it's cool to hate on Microsoft, right? Admit it, the phone looks awesome, right? We think so. By the end of the day, I hope you think so. I hope that we can provide the support that you need to build a really vibrant app ecosystem around this. If we're not, let us know. I'll be here all day, very willing to have discussions, want to hear what you guys think. And then the other thing I want to just kind of mention from a kind of a request perspective, you're going to get a lot of go-dos, kind of things that we are going to ask you to go do. You know, go get the SDK, go join the marketplace, et cetera, like that. I've got a couple specific ones. One is listen, learn, try, ask questions. Okay, very important. We want you to go from the point of, this is interesting, to actually trying something out. Tell your friends who didn't make it here today that we're running this event in San Francisco next week. Okay? tweet about it, blog about it, let us know what you think of the event, right? And the URL for the event is up there. And then the other thing I'm just going to make is kind of a personal request. One of the things that we're doing is we're actually building out a developer evangelism team. We've been doing this since I joined about 15 months ago here in Silicon Valley. We're looking for mobile ninjas. If you have friends or you yourself are interested in joining Microsoft and helping build out this ecosystem, come find us. Let us know. We've got openings right now. Very interested in talking to the best of the best. Okay. With that, I'm going to say thank you and ask Daniel to come back up and start the rest of the day. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah. All right. So you guys probably want to see the phone now, right? I'm going to disappoint you. I got a few more slides. But they're important slides. Really quick. Lee. All right. Matt touched on this slightly, and I want to touch on it as well. I get a lot of questions about the phone, and quite honestly, I think some people believe that we just entered the phone market. Right, and I know developers, you guys know, we've been in phones for a long time. I think our first smartphone came out in 2003, right? So we've learned a lot about phones, you know, from our 6.5 all the way down. But we've also seen how the market's going and what consumers are looking for in a phone, right? We've taken that knowledge, both those things, combined them together to create a really great phone, a really great smartphone, and on top of that, we have some really unique experiences. So with this phone, we've changed from a mini PC and a phone to working like a phone, working how you should. As we go through the day, I'll talk about not only as a consumer using the phone, but as a developer, how things make sense. So there's just a couple things I wanted to touch on. This is the first one. Now, this is a very unique experience across all the platforms. Matt touched on it. Everything is organized into hubs. But it's not just that we have a hub, and I'll show you on the phone, but I really like showing it up on a slide because it's easier to visualize what we're actually doing on the phone. In normal phone development, you have this much screen real estate, right? And you can maybe scroll up and down or go to another page, but that's it. So with the hubs, we've done this, and as developers, you can utilize this as well, and I'll show you how you can do that too. It's a panoramic view, and what that means is when you go into our hubs or an app that utilizes this, you can not only go up and down in the page, but across, back and forth. It makes for a really rich experience. So we have hubs, of course, for music and video. We have it for people, which I'm going to show you. We have it for office, marketplace, games, all of that stuff. So again, I like to show this on a slide just so when I show you it, you can really visualize what you can create with that. And actually, our partner that I told you about that's coming up later today, their app is built utilizing this technology. So you can find out how they liked it, how they integrated it, how it's useful for their app. The second thing I want to touch on that, again, I think is very important for the phone and for developers is the hardware specifications. Now, the hardware specifications, you can read them up here. But what this means is in previous versions of our phone, it was sometimes challenging to develop for it because of the different chassis, right? You didn't know if it had 3 buttons, 5 buttons, 12 buttons. Was it touch? Was it not touch? What was the screen size? Was there an overlay on it? Which you could develop for, but having all those different options means that you had to fork your code in all those ways. So as a developer, since we've made this hardware specification that the phones have to adhere to, it makes it easy for you to develop an app for the phone. So you're guaranteed it's going to have capacitive touch, 4 points or more. You're guaranteed of the camera being 5 megapixels with a flash. You're guaranteed of the sensors that are up there. All this stuff is locked down. You're guaranteed of the resolution. Now, at launch, I have two up there. At launch, we just got the 800 by 480. So you know that's the size of the phone. Now, on the other side, what this means for consumers is consistency. So right now, how many of you actually have, I know I'm in Silicon Valley, but how many of you actually have a Windows phone? Aha, good, we got some hands up. All right, so I guarantee you, you probably never had someone come up to you and said, hey, that's a great Windows phone. right? Even though they're great phones, but they go, that's a great Samsung, or that's a cool LG, or that's a great Blackjack, I like your phone. It's not that they're not cool phones, but I don't think a lot of people outside the development community knew we had phones. With Windows Phone 7, you will know you have a Windows phone because of the hardware specifications, because of the detail we put in to the phone to make it unique and make it stand out. Okay. Now I'll show you guys the phone. So I didn't do a fake phone. I've had this phone for a few months now. So this is my real phone. I don't have fake friends in there. I don't have fake data in there. So what you're seeing is me using this on a daily basis. Now, I hope no one embarrasses me and calls me or texts me while we're doing this, hopefully. And I probably shouldn't have said that because people are watching online now. But I want to show you not everything on the phone. We're not going to go through the exhaustive view of the phone, but the things that I think are important. And the reason I think they're important, quite honestly, is it's not just developing for a phone, but it's developing for a cool phone. Okay, if you say go Daniel, I can do that, but besides that, it's developing for a cool phone. So I think even before showing you any apps, I think you'll agree that the phone is really cool. So I'm going to start with the front page here. Now, this is unique across platforms, and it's great for both consumers and developers, and I'll tell you why. These are not icons. And by the way, in case you didn't know, you know, this is my real phone just projecting up on the screen. It's not the emulator or anything. To the right, you'll find the application icons that you're used to on other phones. These are live tiles, and I'll talk in more detail through the day on them, but to me, this is the coolest part of the phone. Really cool for consumers, but for developers, this is a goldmine. And the reason is you have access to these live tiles as a developer when people are not even using your app. So what do I mean by that? You can see some of the ones we have, the People Hub, other stuff. But what that means is that as a developer, if, say, you had designed a car searching app, right? And I use this analogy all the time. If you have a car searching app that I'm looking for a car that is like a 1967 Corvette, you know, red convertible for $10,000, right? Yeah, I'm not going to find that. But you're looking for that. You go into the phone, you say what you're looking for, and you let it go, and you let their back-end search engine look for it, right? When they find that car for me, or close facsimile, they can change this tile. You have access to change the image on the tile, the text overlay on the tile, and the number on the tile. So in a car app, you can do that. In a game, when you're changing turns, you can show which person moved next and show it's your turn. A weather app that I'll show you a sample later. When the weather changes, you can see different stuff. So this is a really cool experience. And again, we talked about earlier, you guys are here to make money, right? So this is another way that you can get people and drive them into your app when they're not thinking about it, because when they see it change, they go, oh, something's new. They're going to go into your application. So we'll talk about this more down the road. But again, it's a very unique experience across all platforms. So I'm going to start by going into one of our hubs. I'm going to go into the People Hub. The People Hub is your contact section, but it's broader than that. We have social media integration inside the phone. And before I actually got the phone, I really didn't understand what that meant. I thought, was it just like an app that you have, or you know, how does it integrate? And right now we integrate with Live and Facebook. And what that means is, for me, and I'm assuming for a lot of you, you have your Outlook contacts, right, that you call and you email and all that stuff. But you also have a lot of people that you know kind of outside your Outlook contacts or your mail contacts, we'll just keep it general, that you know in social media. And now all of that is in one place. So you can see, again, this is a panorama control. So I can look at and see all the recent people I've talked to, some people that will be up on stage. There's Erin for you guys to take a picture with her later in the photo booth. So you guys know what she looks like to make sure you can get that picture. We have all, so obviously, again, here's the scroll up and scroll down of all the people that I'm associated with. Then we have what's new. So what's new And again, this is live, so I got to make sure what's on screen, I guess. But what's new is anything that your friends are posting on the social networks that I mentioned. So you can go through here and see. You can see it's just updated. I can see what my friends are doing. I can go in there and let me find one with comments. Okay. You can like the post. It's generating comments. Now I can read things. I can comment out myself. I'm just going to go ahead and like it. So it's integrated in the phone. And what's really cool, besides just the the social media aspect of it, of being able to keep track of my friends and all that stuff, is really the search. So there's people, as I travel around, that I meet through conferences and, you know, events like this, who I want to keep in touch with, but they're not necessarily in my Outlook, right? But sometimes I'm like, oh, I know that person that can help with that, but I don't have their number. So now I can go in and grab them, pull up their stuff. Most people, for at least their friends, will share email. Some will share a phone number. And so I can now go in here. I can email Carl. I can call him on the phone. I could, of course, write on his Facebook wall. I can see what's new and what he's been up to, all that stuff. So it keeps you in contact with the people you care about in a very easy way. And I'll stop making you guys sick by turning the phone like that. But you can see it has the orientation support. In addition, you'll notice that I can pin individual people to the front page as well. So if there's people I really want to follow, like you know, my buddy Tim Huckabee at Internology, have any of you ever seen him speak? Yeah, great guy, great presenter, does some really cutting-edge stuff. And so I can, you know, obviously call him. You can see that up on the top it says Outlook and Facebook. So if you have people in multiple places, multiple Outlook Exchange accounts, Facebook, Live, it'll combine it all into one. So you don't have multiple contacts in here. And, you know, certain people you want to really keep track of, so you put them on your front page. Okay, that's the People Hub. Again, everything's organized in the hubs. I'm going to go into the Pictures Hub. And you'll see on my Pictures Hub, this was me, I probably shouldn't say this, but almost dying, because I was driving down the street and I saw the Wienermobile, you know, down the freeway actually. And so here's me trying to struggle to take a picture of it because I wanted it. It's probably not a smart thing to do, but I had never actually seen it before, so I was pretty excited. Picture Hub is the same way. If you, you know, scroll back and forth, you have a panorama view again. And I'll reiterate this, as a developer, you can create an application that uses the panorama control as well. We have a what's new in this section. The cool thing about this, though, is it's not doing every single post. Whenever people post pictures on either Facebook or Live, it'll show here. So this is very specific. Yes, I am a phone geek, I know. So I really like that. But here's my favorite part here. I'm going to go ahead and click on all. The top one's a picture of that I took yesterday for some odd reason. So you know that obviously pictures I take on the phone will be here. Pictures I save on, you know, from email or SMS and stuff will be here. But in addition to that, I have all my albums from Facebook and Live on here as well. So I can go in and, you know, show, you know, when we went to Paris last year and show the pictures of that. I can actually see if there's any you know, comments on those pictures. All of that stuff is here. So, you know, a lot of times people will use this for, you don't really carry pictures in your wallet of your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, whatever, and your kids anymore. And it's kind of a pain to load things like that onto your phone, even if you use the syncing software. But most people are putting that stuff on Facebook, so it's really easy to access. I can even show you guys when I had hair, if I want. So I don't know why that gets a laugh. That's not Photoshopped. The coolest part about this, though, is this section right here. See where it says SkyDrive camera roll? I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to tell you what that is, because I'm going to show you one of my other favorites of this phone. Now, I've had almost every phone that's out there before, right? And one of the difficult things is when you want to take a picture, you want to take a picture now, right? And so this is really cool. I've turned off my phone, and it's actually locked, right? So All I'm going to do is press and hold the camera button. The camera's automatically going to come on, and bam, I got the picture. Okay? Take another one. I'm going to unlock it so I can show you some other features. But every time I take a picture here, oh yeah, smile. Wait, I'm going to take a picture of the good-looking people. Sorry, guy. Oh, wait, no. Wait, which is the good-looking side? Ah, there you go. So what I think is cool is, so when I'm taking pictures, you always want to see if you got the picture you wanted, right? So now it's right there. I can just slide over, right? I can see if I got it. I can decide that I didn't, take another picture. I got to stop moving it. But you can also go down to film strip and see all the pictures you've taken. And the cool part about this, especially for me lately, because I've been reflashing this phone because we've been going through dev, right? Every time I take a picture, and you have to say it's okay, you know, on the phone to do this, but every time I take a picture, it loads that picture up to my SkyDrive, so I have it on the web right from the phone. So when I have to redo the phone or reboot the phone or whatever you ever have to do, all those pictures are always going to be saved. And again, you have to decide to do that, and it goes up to your Live account, but I think it's like 25 gigs or something that you get free, something silly like that. So that's one of my favorite features on the phone. Like I said, I can spend the whole day showing you the phone. What else do I want to show you that's really cool? Xbox Live. So Kenny's going to talk about games more, right? But you notice the Xbox Live tile? You see that little person coming up, and it's knocking it around? That's actually my avatar. So if we go in here, and again, Kenny will cover this a little more, but I really like this. If we go in here, you can see two things, right? First of all, you can see that I'm no good at creating an avatar because it looks like a waiter in a restaurant, not me. But my personal avatar is here. And one of the things we have in the outside for when we have breaks and lunch is Kenny's going to be running an avatar bar. So even though I'm not a gamer, and you can tell because my gamer points are 15, you'll still want to create an avatar because it'll be your own personal thing on the phone, and it's really cool. There's other stuff it does, and Kenny will show you that, but I love the fact that it personalizes the phone even more. Let's see, one more thing I want to show you. Oh, I know. So we talked about the hardware specifications on the phone, and on a dev side, I'll talk about this more later and what they mean. The bottom three buttons are always going to be standard. You have the back button that's on the left there. You have the Windows button that will always get you back to this front screen. And the thing about the back button, it works. It goes exactly where you expect it to go. If you go to 12 different places, it's going to go back on those 12 different places. So it works, which is important. There's been back buttons on phones before, right? But you couldn't really tell which way it was deciding to go next. So it really works. And then finally, we have a contextual search. So the search button, and the reason I call it contextual is if I'm in people and I click the search button, it's going to search people. If I'm in email, it's going to search, you know, email. If I'm on the front page and I click search, it's automatically going to go to Bing search. And I'm going to give it 1 second here. Let's see what our... Good. So it first changed the picture, and it'll rotate as well if you want, if you like checking out those pictures. But you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner it says Mountain View, so it knows where I'm at. And some of the really cool things about this, I'm going to punch in pizza because I can spell it. I used to ask people to give me a type of food, and I had a horrible time spelling it, so I use pizza now. And what this is going to do is it's assuming that you're not doing homework on the phone, right? You're trying to find someplace. Sorry, I'll stop making you guys do this. You're trying to find someplace or go somewhere, right? So it's automatically going to first go to the local tab. This is a specialized search on Bing for the phone, and you'll see that I can find, Caps Pizza Bar and Grill. Is that around here? Close. You can see also I can see reviews. So if I punch over here, I can see about it. I can see ratings. I can go over to reviews. I can get directions right from my phone. I can jump to their website. I can call them. So I've used this numerous times as I go to different cities to find places to eat. I guess since we're streaming, I won't say I use it to find pubs to go to. But it's a really great, easy part of the phone. And if I go directions from here, I'll just show you how this renders so quickly. So it's going to say start from my location and find it. So it should jump in here in a second and give me turn-by-turn directions. In one more second. Or in one more second. Yeah. Of course. It's the service and how many bars I have, of course. Let's do this. Yeah, it's a live demo. It never works on a live demo. So let's go to maps instead, because I really want to show you the maps. So what I like about this is how quickly it renders. I'm going pretty fast, and I like how it fades in. And some of the cool things on this are first, I'll pop this up so you can see the application bar. This is part of the navigation on the phone. You'll see this in a couple apps. But you can see I can get directions, which I just tried to do. I can also do me, where am I standing right now? And it's going to pop you right there. And so I've used this to find places, as I'm driving, anything you can see. It's actually, I think, got the correct building, surprisingly. But I can turn aerial off if that obviously annoys you. You can, just do the regular map. I can show traffic, although traffic, you'll see it'll zoom out. And I'm assuming that's why some of you guys were late, was because of the traffic on the freeway outside. But you can see how quickly it renders. I mean, and it's a really smooth, buttery type of capacitive touch on the phone. And if any of you want to see this phone later, during break or stuff, come by. I'll show you anything on the phone, except probably, I guess, my email. I can't pop in there. So I think that's it for now. Just a ton to show. But this is a developer presentation and developer day today. So I'll leave the rest of it for you to explore over at the phone bar or to talk to us later. But I think, hopefully, and I'll ask you a question to see if you agree with me, before even seeing the development environment and seeing any apps on the phone, isn't that a cool phone? Okay, good. Awesome. So, okay. What I thought we would do next is I like to, in these presentations, not just have me, kind of talk the whole time, right, and just about dev, but I like to show really cool things that people are doing on this platform. And one of the things that excites me is, it was funny, I was paying for lunch yesterday somewhere, I guess I won't say where, and they said, I tried to actually use my credit card, and they said, oh, I'm sorry, we only take cash or check. And I go, my first response was, check? When was the last time you used a check, right? But beyond that, I like convenience. I like using my phone for cool stuff. And the next company that I'm going to bring up, their tagline is, your phone is now your wallet. So they're a startup that just won Mobile or TechCrunch Startup Alley. Their name is MobilePay. And please help me welcome to the stage Randy, Kyle, E.G., and Steve.
Thanks, Dan.
Sure. Thanks. Just click.
Okay. Thank you for having us. We're very excited to show off our new Phone 7 application. My name's Kyle Circle. I'm the president of MobilePay. Randy Smith over here is the CEO and inventor, and very excited to show off our the real stars of the show, which are our chief system architects who built this out. MobilePay, I'd like to ask you a quick question. How would you like to use your mobile phone to make real-world purchases using your existing debit, credit, loyalty, and gift cards, requiring no hardware or software integration for the real-world merchant? What we've done here is we've bridged the gap between online and real-world purchases, which up until now has not existed. There's an obvious large problem in the marketplace right now. That problem is NFC and the integration of bringing that into phones and accepting that at the merchant location. In Japan, it's near full saturation. In the U.S., 0% of phones currently have the NFC chip. NFC stands for Near Field Communication. You would wave your phone at a device that the merchant register to transmit a payment. and less than 5% of U.S. merchants have the ability to even accept NFC. The problem has been user adoption and integration of bringing NFC and other technologies. There's barcodes, Bluetooth, and various other technologies, and the adoption issue has consistently come up because mobile payments has been a hot space, and to get merchants to adopt that one is going to take off over another, eliminating all those obstacles is what we brought to the market.
And to add to that, right here in San Francisco, the payments were invented and around the magnetic stripe, and so that's where we point out that 95% of the terminals don't have the NFC technology, and so there's been that barrier to entry, and the merchants would have to replace their terminals or develop have a custom download or configuration solution to go ahead and solve the problem that we came up and came up with and solved.
So the solution is, as I just said, we're bridging the gap, requiring no hardware or software integration at the merchant POS system. We're talking more than payments. There's loyalty, gift cards, being able to track a customer's behavior in the real world through your mobile phone. So what we're doing is we're taking the existing credit and debit cards that you have in your wallet and bringing them onto the phone, being able to leave your wallet at home. It's providing convenience and security, and a lot of other elements we're rolling out that can take it way further past what your existing wallet can do for you. We're going to be running a demo in just a minute, but the security feature, you have a four-digit PIN, just like a existing debit card, to access the application, which is our first form of security. And your existing debit, credit, gift cards, or loyalty cards, the actual card numbers are securely stored with a banking partner, so there's only a tokenized version left on the phone. So if the phone was to be lost or stolen, the physical card is not on there, unlike the other technologies in the marketplace. There's been a huge security issue with even NFC and breaches and hacking because your actual card numbers are on the phone. And you can also log online and deactivate the program at the same time. So consumer adoption, basically convenient, cool, and secure. Rand can walk through that.
Sure. So by offering a universal app that can do so many things for the consumer, then their life is made a little more simple. You get rid of all the plastic rewards cards and the plastic payment cards in your wallet. Of course, we're going to be starting from square one, but eventually that is the goal, that you would your phone would truly be able to become your wallet. We believe the first people to adopt will be the millennials. Of course, everyone out here, anybody tech savvy, Gen X and baby boomers will of course adopt very quickly. The security, to touch base on that again, about the card data never being stored, this has not been done before. So this is something you've probably heard of, what's called PCI compliance and payment card industry compliance. And that is all centered around protecting the actual card data from being stolen or shared or lost. You've heard of big breaches, and the merchants are responsible for that. So if it happens, then they have to spend all this money. It's several billion dollars a year as an industry that they have to spend to go ahead and protect the card data.
So fraud's obviously a huge issue. 43% of a lost and stolen wallet leads to identity theft or fraud. And we are basically nearly eliminating the chances of that or minimizing it greatly.
In fact, the 1 in 5 card breaches right now, data card breaches are actually by merchants that are PCI compliant. So they're doing everything they should, and they're still, the cyber thieves are still getting in, so, and stealing the data one way or another. But if we go into the...
Yeah, so let's do a live demo right here. So to create a scenario that we're going to be... we'll launch the app. This is a real life experience. We have a The credit card machine we have up on the screen in just a minute is a live merchant account. Obviously, we couldn't have it hardwired, so it's a wireless credit card machine. It has nothing to do with our technology other than prove the technology and show you a real-life transaction today. Okay. So you launch the app, and you put in a four-digit PIN that you choose. So you'll download the app for free, create that four-digit PIN. GPS locator will identify your location and will allow you to check into that merchant. So it has a check-in feature. So say we're going to go to Cool Treats. Is it possible to zoom in just a little bit?
Zoom in. Zoom down here.
Down in the lower portion, up until now, how many times do you have a loyalty or a gift card? You have no idea what your points are. How much money you have left on it, all of it is in real time available to the consumer to be able to view on the application. And that's significant because you can actually use those rewards or use your gift cards and check in, and we'll check, move forward to pay our bill.
Okay, so we're at the, now yeah, we're at checkout.
This we're in the real world store, and the merchant, you know, I got my yogurt, I go up to the front, and
you say, I want to pay by phone.
I'm going to pay by phone. And this merchant is already part of our network. They've signed up through a five-minute simple sign-up. We're communicating with their existing merchant ID number, which every merchant has the ability to take credit and debit cards. That's what we're going to be communicating with on the back end. And so I walk up and say, I'm going to pay by phone. The merchant then says, anybody can pick them out.
How much is it on the register?
You want to pick them out?
How much is our frozen yogurt costing today?
$10.32.
$4.50. Okay. And so, as a consumer on the phone, let's get that on there.
So I walked up to the front, say I'm going to pay by phone, $4.50. I can choose a card that's been preloaded and type in the amount.
And all you do is hit pay now, the transaction will go ahead and be completed. You'll see this is an actual live transaction going on. This is a wireless terminal here. A little bit more of a delay than actually in the store.
Approved. So, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And for some of you that obviously don't understand payments, this is very, very significant. Up until now, there's obviously been a lot of mobile payment players bringing everything from stickers to hardware devices for the phone, to chips, Bluetooth, barcodes. We've eliminated all that. We're communicating with the existing hardware and software for a merchant. So to be able to scale and roll this out, we're eliminating a lot of these obstacles that have been in the marketplace. And we're bringing social user experience. This is secure and basically eliminating fraud and dealing with the PCI issue out in the marketplace. Let's walk back through it real quick.
Okay.
Just a little bit slower and point out a few things before we invite up our architects. So again, four-digit PIN that you choose, GPS locator, which is going to be significant. We are far from a one-trick pony. We're further than payments. We have check-in feature. We have daily deal, we have search, couponing, loyalty, gift cards, all of this. So we can virtualize existing loyalty and gift cards that people have or create new programs for merchants, especially a lot of mom and pops that haven't had the ability in the past to roll out programs like that. So we'll check in.
So right here, yeah, we've checked in, and this is like, so if you're signed up for several merchant loyalty programs you've gone shopping at, the app will go ahead and show the most recent that you've been at and display the actual points. So if you just want a quick broad overview, and then if there's any merchant daily deals, it's automatically going to be broadcast utilizing riding GPS.
We're eliminating the George Costanza a little bit here. Big wallet.
I got it.
And you'll have My Account feature. You'll have your e-wallet. You'll eventually be able to pay bills or friends.
Thanks, Kyle.
It's not quite in focus there. There we go. Thank you.
Here we go.
You'll be able to view your entire rewards, your transaction history. We're also going to have a merchant search. So if you're, it will automatically show if you can type in a city zip, or a keyword, or you can just choose a category, and it's going to go ahead and show the five closest merchants that are in the network.
Imagine checking out online, where I know many times I don't have my physical wallet with me or the card. I have to go get it from my pocket in another room or an office. And you're coming, you have to retype all the information in. You get to check out online, and mobile pay is an option. You can just pay by phone because everybody's usually got their phone with them. Obviously, everything's moving into the phone. So this brings a lot of convenience to the consumer and not needing to go search for their credit card and re-enter it every time or store it online. So walking back through, we'll check in back with Cool Treats again.
Oops, sorry.
And again, the loyalty, the points, very, very significant. The merchant can customize the screen and have a lot of involvement and user interaction with the consumer.
Personally, I think that just think about it. I mean, right now, if you have your rewards cards, I mean, your options are to go online to that actual website, log in, and try to find out how many points do I have, or you keep the receipt from the last time, and then you have multiple cards on your keychain. So that's contemporary, right? So that's just our loyalty piece. But yeah. So basically, it's just nice and simple. So every merchant you go, it's automated. So when you're going through to make the payment, pay by phone, the loyalty is automated. So there's no more pulling out a separate rewards card. There's no more giving out your phone number if you don't have your rewards card at the point of sale.
And the other paradigm shifting piece is that we can narrow down to the SKU of what's being purchased in the real world. That's never existed before without integrating hardware software.
I think that's pretty much a good overview. Kyle and I are busy leading the company, but we're definitely not the programmers. And I'd like to introduce our chief systems architects, Steve and E.G.
Thank you.
Okay, very cool. So you saw the app. What do you guys think? Pretty cool, huh? Right? Yeah, exactly. I think it's pretty cool, but I'm kind of biased. It's kind of cool to see the feedback. I heard the oohs and ahs from the crowd as soon as they did the transaction, the live transaction went through. It was approved. That was an actual transaction. It's pretty exciting stuff. So now let's talk about why you're really here, because you're all developers here. We're developers. We're .NET developers at heart. So let's talk a little bit about how EG and I got to this stage, because that's a pretty interesting story. Started about a week ago when I gave Daniel Egan a call, and I said, Daniel, because he and I often try to hook up. Our schedules don't always align. We have projects I'm working on, projects he's working on. We kind of try to collaborate. I said, Daniel, I have this really cool app that we've done for the iPhone. I don't know if you guys seen the TechCrunch video or any of the videos that are out there now. Our first version of this was on the iPhone, done in Xcode, compiled on the Mac. So I said, Daniel, I have this really cool app. This is what it does. What do you think? Do you think Microsoft would like to showcase it, maybe talk about it? He said, I don't know. I said, okay, Daniel, don't take my word for it. Look online, look up the videos, call me back. About 10 minutes later, he calls me back, and he's like, Steve, I'll give you whatever you need. And what's more, I want you to talk at the developer launch. I say, okay, great. When is it? Tuesday. This was last week. We didn't have anything. All we had was the iPhone app to work from. We had Randy's exhaustive wireframes about what the app should do, because basically we're planning all mobile platforms. Every platform will have the same basic experience, but every device, every phone platform will have its own character, own unique flavor, own unique feel. So one of the things we felt was very important going into this was, okay, let's take a look at what WinPhone 7 looks like, what it does, its style guidelines that are available on the developer website, and try to keep the same experience that our CEO wants. These are the wireframes, but preserve the character of WinPhone 7, I think. And we're kind of giving you a peek under the covers. This is an early version of this. As I'll point out as we go along, we're still evolving our delivery. And so let's kind of go into this. Let's start with the My Account page. So again, we wanted to preserve the character of WinPhone 7. We read through the style guidelines that you guys all have access to. Wanted to preserve the font. As you can see, the font we're using at the top is the built-in font. One of the guidelines says you try to stay within the font. Everywhere you see font, we use the static resource that is basically the Sago font. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And that's to preserve, tie it all into the whole phone as a whole. The buttons you see here, now this is interesting. In the iPhone development, these were created as instances of a UI image, basically an image map with rounded corners. On WinPhone 7, since you have access to Blend and brushes, we created these as actual Blend brushes. Having a background in WPF, both EG and I mean, this was like old hat to us. This was like nothing. I mean, given a week to come up with a WinPhone 7 app for this launch, we went into it knowing, okay, we could do this. We told our CEO, okay, Randy, we got this. We'll roll the WinPhone 7 version of the app, no problem, because it's Visual Studio, it's .NET, it's what we know and love, what all of you here know and love. So, interesting thing to point out, not only that we use Blend for the buttons, the background, the gradient, rather than using image resources, we used the built-in font to preserve the look and feel. And as a side note, this is a very early version of this page. This is one of the first pages we did. We said, okay, well, this is the easy one. Let's tackle this one first. Let's get it up and running. From here, we went to, if we could show them, the main page. Notice here, we're using the pivot control. And in the pivot control, we have our geolocated stores. We have a couple of things grouped by this concept of home page. So whereas in the iPhone, it was just a single page. Here's your geolocated closest stores. WinPhone 7 provides this really cool control that allows us to group a concept. And so you say, okay, well, what else can we show? How can we utilize this really cool and new control in a way that makes sense for our product? So what we did is we came up with this control, and in it we've placed not only the closest five stores and their proximity to you, but if you want to show them the My Points, it also allows you to see your points at each one of those vendors, like your loyalty points is our CEO and our president went over. So I mean, right at a push of a button, at a flick of a finger, utilizing the control that's provided to you, we were able to come up with this really cool concept. So I point this out because our My Account page is going to evolve into this. We're actually going to use the pivot control for the My Account to kind of group that concept. This, and again, we're keeping you in the loop. This is like revealing our iterative cycle here.
We pretty much figured out that each of these buttons is going to be a pivot page.
Right. So basically, we're evolving our way of thinking as we go along. We're kind of including you guys in the process as well. And let's see, what else do I want to talk about? I guess basically the biggest thing from the mobile, the phone's perspective, the actual device, is the development is really straightforward. It's all .NET, and I don't want to jump too far ahead because I have some closing thoughts, but it was really, really easy to get into. For those of you that have done .NET development before, it's like, it's so simple. So I kind of want to segue into kind of with the back end side of things. Now, you heard in the keynote, one of the big things was like mobile and the cloud. So.
Right. So in order to get our app into production as quick as we need to, well, really quick, when Randy and I were talking about what we need for the back end, pretty much we were going through different possible bank partners, and we finally decided, okay, we're going to go with this guy. Right, and I said, okay, now that we have this guy, we actually needed to be live yesterday. So I got together with another, our CTO, which is Ryan, and he gave me a choice of three platforms. I chose Azure. And as anybody who's known Azure, you pretty much can go from nothing to live in no time, and that's exactly what happened. We needed the server up yesterday. With Azure, we were up in less than 3 hours after making the decision. The other cool thing is that because we're expecting to be handling tons of transactions, we couldn't use SOAP because SOAP is a little bit too wordy, so we decided to go with RESTful services. And as a result, the RESTful services also have to return in a very lean way, So we're using JSON in the back as a return. And on the iPhone, it took us about 2-3 days to develop the JSON parser. On the Phone 7, the SDK already included a JSON deserializer, which allowed us to deserialize directly into objects. So that went pretty well. That went really fast. The Azure platform also, with just the smallest instance that we're using right now, was able to handle about 10,000 transactions a second on our very own account. So,
I just want to point out real quickly, too, that the iPhone app is also connecting to Azure on the back end. Yeah. All of the platforms will be connecting to Azure.
So not only were we able to get on Phone 7 platform in a really quick amount of time, but using Azure, we're able to get our servers up. Well, not our servers, but our services up in a fraction of the amount of time that we normally would have using, you know, configuring our own boxes and pushing those up. And the great thing is that when we need to start scaling, all we need to do is just increase the number of instances that we have. So.
Very good. All right, yep. So we don't have a lot of time, so there's a couple of parting thoughts I wanted to leave you guys with, because this is a really cool day. We're looking forward to sitting through the rest of the presentations today, because we're really excited about the rest of the talks.
Right.
So, in summary, if you are a .NET developer and you're comfortable with Visual Studio and you've been doing it for a while, this will be like you'll be able to jump right in and start swimming, honest, because that's what we did, seriously. We couldn't have done it any other way. We had a week to roll this. What you saw, it's functional. It's evolving, but it's functional. It talks to the cloud. We did it in a couple of days, really, and what took us a couple of weeks on the iPhone. If you are Silverlight developers, you'll be doing better than just swimming, because this is a Silverlight platform. Whereas he and I have an exposure to WPF, XAML, we got to XAML, we got to Blend. It was like old hat. You really creative, skilled UX developers are just going to go nuts with this, because we've only begun to scratch the surface with the transitions, the animations you can do. It's just pretty limitless. And those of you that are just getting into it, you like the phone, you like the platform, you're looking to get into the development for the platform, this is an exciting time to get involved. I mean, I'm excited. I don't know if it's coming through, but
right.
This is a great time to be excited. We're excited about it. We're excited to be doing our product on this platform. We were excited to be here. Thank you, Daniel.